The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Wait for Saturday night. Actually, can't wait for tomorrow night. Friday night, high school football looks really good this weekend. Saturday night, I'll be at ASU, Michigan State. Sunday, I'll be at the Cardinals game. Saturday night, I'm going to do the double duty. I'm going to sit in the stands. Had a friend of mine that called and said, you want to come sit out and see what it's like? I sat in the stands last year. I didn't fit. Just too big. My knees, I was eating my knees. It wasn't fun. It was not a great environment. I was miserable. So for half of the game, I will sit in the stand, see if it's worth it. If it's not worth it, then I'm just going to go back up to my seat in the hermetically sealed press box. Eric Sorensen is with us today, and Eric is going to be at the game in the crowd or not. I forget now. You have a friend in town, one of your best friends. You're not going to the game?
Yeah, my old roommate.
You are going to the game.
I'm going to both games this weekend.
That's right. You're going to both games this weekend.
I've never been to a Cardinal game as a fan, Brad. Not once.
Do you think there'll be fights? Do you think there'll be you'll eat the $80 hamburger that they have?
No.
Will you do any of that stuff?
No. We'll just go in and watch games.
Are you going to watch TCU tomorrow night? Friday night TCU game?
Yes. And then because I'm addicted, I might sneak over to high school and catch the end of a game. Because yeah. I'm not going to lie, Brad. I looked at the schedule. Live pretty close to Paradise Valley High School. They have a home game, so I might just tiptoe down the street and stand on a sideline and watch a high school game. So,
because
you know we don't do nearly enough high school football. You're nice enough to grant me a few days off, and what do? On my day off, I go back and I watch high school football.
Well, it's like tomorrow night. I've got
an addict.
I'm going to be at some event in. I got invited to an event by Tim Hovick over at Santan Ford, one of our partners. And the Arizona Ford dealers, and Tim's got a big soiree tomorrow night. So I'm going to go to downtown Tempe for a while and then head out to a high school game in all likelihood. I'll just find one along the way. You guys are like, why high school? Well, why not? Saturday, you've sat in the stands at ASU games through the years, just not NFL games.
Yeah. The last time I saw a Cardinal game as a fan was at Sun Devil Stadium. It's crazy as that sounds. Long time ago.
So, are you going to tailgate on Saturday night? You're going to get liquored up and stumble in and hat backwards?
Probably.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I got invited to a tailgate, so we'll see how that goes.
Nice. Do you wear your purple or do you wear Sun Devil colors?
I'll be decked out in black.
Will you? Is it a blackout? I forget.
It's a blackout and a whiteout. Depends on what team you're rooting for.
I get you.
And the stadium's going to look really cool because apparently the game is very close to a sellout, a source told me this morning, wink, wink. So, AKA, it's going to be a sellout, and there's going to be a lot of Michigan State fans there. So it will be a black and white stadium if ASU behaves and wears all black like they should. Because, you know, all the Michigan State fans are going to be wearing white because they're Big Ten.
That's what they do.
Yeah, Big Ten teams, if they tell you to wear a certain color, all the fans wear them, hence Penn State and the whiteout.
This is the furthest west for Michigan State in a wild, I want to say they played like Oregon or someone a while back.
Don't know.
They've done the Rose Bowl.
Yep. Well, they played in the Holiday Bowl last year, so they've been out here recently.
It's not the Rose Bowl. Yeah. No, you're right. So this is the farthest west. We had Brian Lewerke on earlier in the week, and he was talking about how he's just going to his teammates because he needs tickets. Are you of the opinion, as am I, this is my opinion.
Okay.
If they win, it will be the biggest win since beating Nebraska, 19-0 with Jake Plummer. Remember, contextually, when Todd was fired and they hired Herm, everybody except this guy sitting here, and I don't know if there's others, hated the move of A, firing Todd, and B, even more so, bringing Herm Edwards here.
I'm trying to think what Todd Graham's biggest win was at ASU. And off the top of my head, I would think that this would be the biggest. Yeah, thanks, Devin. Yeah, he did beat Washington last year.
Well, but Washington was shorthanded.
And that was such an ugly game.
It was an ugly game.
That was just a poorly played football
game.
Remember,
I had someone at ASU saying, boy, you're really hating on the players. No, it's a fact. It was a short week. Washington was beat up, and Todd was going to get fired. You know, I had people that said the guys that looked most uninspired after the Washington loss or win by ASU were Herm Edwards, Ray Anderson and Michael Crowe.
Mm-hmm. Washington was playing a Saturday night game on the road. Imagine that. Wow, funny how that happens.
They always play
late night Saturday night games on the road.
So are you on my side of the street?
Yes, I just don't think ASU is going to win, but that's just me.
Well,
so.
So let's go through the reasons why they can win.
Okay.
And we're going to have Vaccaro with us here in a little bit because we got to get a view from Vegas on this game and also the opening of the Cardinals. So Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us from the South Point. They will win because Michigan State's defense gave up a lot of points to Utah State, a lot of yards to Utah State. They'll win because
you're telling me, you're not asking me, right?
I'm telling you and then you can shoot me down.
Sounds good.
They will win because the game starts at 7:45 if we're lucky with ESPN, probably closer to 8, which is closer to, what is it? They're 2 hours ahead?
3 hours, 11.
So they're 3 hours ahead in East Lansing. So it'd be 11 o'clock, middle of the night, that these guys are playing a football game. That's a long time to sit around. ASU will win because they have a quarterback that is a veteran. This will be his signature victory, which we have yet to see out of Manny Wilkins. And as Herm Edwards said last night on Scott Van Pelt's show, N'Keal Harry's the guy that's going to play on Sundays. Not that that's a big surprise, but it's just him pushing the program. That is my view. The heat will be a factor. Now, what is yours?
I agree with many of those. I think the heat could be a factor. I think the late kickoff is something that doesn't get talked about nearly enough. Because my last memory of a Big Ten team coming to the Valley and playing a late night game was Iowa back in 2004. And the game was delayed because there was a monsoon. And Iowa came in and they were like 12th in the country. And ASU destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
ASU was undefeated against Big Ten teams in Tempe, which I think that's pretty telling. And it's not like 1-0. I think they're like 9-0 or 10-0.
However, one of those was Illinois. That's where I first met Brock in person. I remember that night.
That was, yeah. But Illinois doesn't really count.
They're horrible.
But ASU will win because Manny Wilkins will have a big game. I could see that happening. But I think that Michigan State will play so much better than they did last week against Utah State. And I think Michigan State's been hearing all week about how, oh, they may not be really as good as people think they are. And ASU, you know, they handled UTSA. They played really well, but this is a completely, like, Michigan State returns 11 starters on defense. It will be a different test on Saturday.
I agree with you on that, but is ASU's defense better than what we thought?
As of now, yes.
I think the whole team
is better than, you know, I thought that they would beat UTSA. I didn't think it would be 49-7. I thought it'd be 35-20-21.
What will it be like here on
35-17?
What will it be like around town on Monday if ASU wins?
Tough to tell because people are just, this is Phoenix, so you don't know.
You can't predict anything. Will they try to tear down the goalposts like they did against Nebraska?
I don't think so.
It's a different era. It's a different time. I don't think you need to do that.
Michigan State team is not that Nebraska dynasty.
No, not number one. Sure. No, I get that. But if you're 2-0, now I'll flip this around on you. I think U of A is going to get boat raced.
I think so, too.
9 a.m. start time, body clock. So you're waking up those players at the U of A in Houston at 5 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. And UH probably should have beat them in Tucson last year. That was a pretty – oh, they did beat them, but it was just a poorly played game from what I remember. Did U of A beat Washington now, or beat Houston? Now I'm confused. I don't remember.
I think, Kyle Allen was down there.
Yeah.
Because Jordan went down
there. Houston won. I
know, it's a different staff with Sumlin. And Sumlin said some stuff this week that was just weird. We need to have Khalil Tate try to win games with us with his legs. That's just weird. Like, you don't know that already? This guy played so well. And Khalil Tate, it looked like they're trying to turn him into a pocket passing, drop back, NFL-style quarterback. And if you're trying to do that in season, you're going to have growing pains. I understand that.
UH won 19-16 last year over U of A.
Ugly.
Yep.
Ugly.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. You're good. But it's the – is there going to be some stuff that we see out of Khalil Tate this week that we didn't see last week, that the coaching staff – because I don't know if they're going to run into a more physical defensive front or veteran defensive front. You have to use the word veteran when you play BYU. It's just a fact. These guys are 24, 25, 26. It's the way it works. So I'm very excited about the college weekend. I was at the Cardinals yesterday, and, you know, Sam Bradford said he's excited and looked like a kid that's been unleashed out of the hospital, I don't know, because of his knee. And Sam was asked, the first 5-6 questions were about his knee, if he's going to be able to stay healthy. Nobody knows. He talked about how his wife said, hey, it looks like you're ready to go. And yeah, it looked like first game of the NFL season. Like, anybody should be surprised after watching all that nonsense in August. I thought David Johnson being asked over and over and over about his knee and his contract yesterday was, okay, what other angles can we possibly have? I visited with Fitz for a moment in the locker room, and it's fine. It's first week of the NFL. I'm more interested in Steve Wilks. I really like Steve Wilks. I think Steve Wilks gives a damn. I do. I don't know if Bruce Arians last year, the fire was out of the belly. I hate that term, but you know, both he and Carson, it just felt like, whew, you got to go through another season. And so, you know, there were some other players I talked to out there yesterday, and you just feel like it's a fresh start. It's Josh Rosen's team about halfway through this year, in all likelihood. I still believe they're going to be better than 6 wins. We'll talk to Jimmy Vaccaro about that on the other side. Later in the show, the Basketball Hall of Fame this weekend has 3 players from the Suns going in. It's going to get lost in all the football. But Steve Nash is going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. This is huge, as is Grant Hill, as is Jason Kidd. I'm going to weigh in on that. I went out to the Rising match last night. A little update on where that stands with the MLS. And the Diamondbacks have Zach Greinke on the mound against Atlanta. The vibe around town is just ho-hum. I think we should just turn the page and get to football. This team's not going to get it done. We'll talk about that too. And a few other things in my mind. Goody at the Movies later on. We'll talk about Senator McCain, the new Kaepernick commercial, and what movie Bill is seeing. That's all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now let's go to Las Vegas, as we do during the NFL season. Actually, year-round, we check in at the South Point Casino Resort, because Jimmy Vaccaro, the good guy that he is able to join us and jump on board. Of course, the place to go this weekend, South Point Casino Resort. Make a day out of it and just get on up there now and enjoy the whole weekend. Jimmy, how are things shaping up for this NFL season from your view in terms of the legalization, the interest? The whole industry has just taken a shake here in the last 4 months. Are we expecting record numbers this year?
It's not even close, my friend. It'll be over the top probably around 3/4 of the way through the season. And I say that only because of just being around this stuff my entire life. You can just feel an energy that you haven't felt before. And naturally, when you have something like this that's brand new, it just creates new customers also. So with that saying, you know, we'll be okay here, and it'll just add on to what we do. Now, naturally, there's a lot of other places opening up, and that'll be good for the long run. Now, remember, we still have chances to make deals with people all over the country also. So It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. But to answer your question, my friend, we break all records this year. Trust me on that one.
And I've had people here in Arizona ask me repeatedly, what is the stance on this state? My understanding is it's going to be down the road. This is not going to be a state that turns around anytime soon. So they've got to go to Vegas. And when you go to Vegas, go to the South Point. That said, let's start with the college stuff here. ASU and Michigan State, huge, huge matchup on Saturday night. VU in Vegas, Sun Devil Spartans.
Michigan State, 6.5-point favorite, saw 7, but it was immediately taken up by some of the wise guys here, and it's down to 6.5. This is a damn good game for one of the late games, 7:45 our time. Michigan State, Arizona State, a little action on the underdog there, but pretty good test for Arizona State, you know, for both teams right out of the box. So we'll write plenty of business on this one, my friend, that I can tell you.
Saturday morning, the University of Arizona, they looked horrible last week against BYU. They go down to Houston. VU in Vegas, Arizona, Houston, Saturday morning.
Houston, a 4-point favorite. Some money on Houston so far after the showing last week with Arizona. So I would think that number will go a little bit higher. I mean, I understand that things aren't the same as they used to be out there with Arizona State and Arizona, but they're both underdogs this weekend, and you know what? They should be.
On Sunday, you have the Cardinals, new head coach, Sam Bradford, if he can stand upright. They take on the Washington Redskins. What do you see in Cardinals Redskins up there?
Well, I can tell you about the Cardinals, first of all, my friend. First of all, there's a 1-point favor of Washington. That's what it should be. We're looking at on a neutral field that the game would be Washington a small favorite also. But this I can tell you. There's a lot of people who don't think Arizona is going anywhere but down this year. And how do I gather all that information? Everything we put up on it, there has been no money bet on Arizona. The only place that we took a lot of money, we opened the season win total at 6.5. We're down to 6 under. We've taken about $30,000 under the 6.5, meaning there's a lot of people thinking they won't even get to 7 games. Things have changed drastically around here in the last couple of years, but you guys will be fighting the whole way, I guarantee you that. But a lot of people don't think you're going anywhere but down, my friend.
Okay, so the game this weekend that's getting the most action right now on the NFL side, where are you seeing it coming in on?
Not even close, my friend. Atlanta, Philadelphia tonight. Now, we opened this game 4, Eagles' favorite, about 2 months ago. We had a gentleman come in and take the Atlanta Falcons plus the 4 for $110,000 to $100,000. Since that time, every book from here to New Zealand has taken money on the Falcons. It's down as low as 1.5 and 1. The Eagles are a favorite. Naturally, a lot of that only because you get that Super Bowl hangover that people like to bet against the team that won the Super Bowl, and also with the quarterback juggling to some degree. But Atlanta is drawing a lot of attention also on the plus side. People think they are about ready. But to answer your question, a monster decision, first game out of the chute, my friend.
Let you go off that, Jimmy. Thanks as always. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
There's Jimmy Vaccaro there, South Point Casino and Resort. Good to catch up there with Jimmy. Le'Veon Bell is in the news cycle today.
Whoa. We're not going to talk all about what he said about ASU Michigan State.
What do you want?
Because you can tell, like, whenever Vaccaro references the wise guys,
yeah,
that's like a huge, like,
he's got some
alert,
insight.
Like, something is going to happen.
Something's that we're not aware of?
The smarts really like ASU, and the smarts are right a lot more than they're wrong. So, interesting.
So you're saying...
Are you going to flip on me?
No,
I'm not going to be a fish. I'm just saying, you know... We've been doing this segment long enough. When he says the smarts, that means, like, that's the drill down game that, like, all the bookies in Vegas are probably looking at when the number comes out and be like, that's the game right there. So that's good for ASU fans. Doesn't mean they're going to win the game, but, hey, you may cover.
As soon as we get done here, Eric's driving to Vegas.
Nope.
Like
nope.
A crazy man.
Nope. Although I do know friends who are betting the money line in ASU. So just saying that that's just. Remember, Brad, when we started this like 7 years ago, how taboo it was to talk about, like, oh, gambling and
fantasy
spreads and fantasy. Ooh.
Fantasy. And that's, I mean, that's.
Yeah, you were way ahead on all this stuff. So
no, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you were. Because I was the one that was like, oh, why are we talking about fantasy football?
No, you were like, why are we doing high school?
You and I have a different memory because I was working high school football games before I came to work for you.
A different memory. That's good.
Well, you always say that. You're like, yeah, you really had like a thing as high school football.
Okay, so you weren't in on fantasy football.
Like, yeah, and I'm still not into fantasy football. Some things never change.
I took my draft the other night.
You took it?
I did it.
Okay.
I did my draft the other night. It's the same guy, and we've been doing it for this. This will be our 29th season. I thought it was 30. People are like, fantasy football hasn't been around that long. Oh, you're so wrong.
There's was it called like things. Rotisserie football back then?
Back
like
in the day.
Rotisserie baseball?
Back in the day. This is when we launched All Sports Radio out in Southern California.
Wow.
This was back when.
30 years ago. Who would be the best fantasy player 30 years ago?
It was back in the day when Jim Rome was a little reporter in Santa Barbara, and he came down to us, and we put him on in the middle of the night. It was a day where Pedro Gomez was a prep writer.
Heard of him, too.
Buster Olney was a prep writer. Bob Nightingale was just kind of sort of doing something. He was doing some golf, I think.
So I mean, 1998.
No. Even before that.
88. Oh, yeah. 88. My math is poor.
Yeah, your math's
88.
Poor.
88.
See, you don't even remember.
I was young.
So, no, we did our fantasy draft the other night, and I was just same guy. And this is back in the day when Tony Hawk would actually drive down and leave packages at our door to please talk about us.
It's so cool.
This is when there was a company called No Fear that did T-shirts.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like State 48. They would just drive down and beg us, please wear our gear. Please talk about us. And they'd bring down stuff all the time. It was amazing. So, back in the day. I'm moving forward here to the Steelers. The story of the Steelers, if I walked into work and Eric said, I am not coming in to work because I am not getting paid enough. A, he's done that many times. No, he doesn't yet. It would be like what Le'Veon Bell is doing. because Eric's very important. But you're not as important as your teammates around you at a running back spot. To have players yesterday was just like a landmark day, I thought. I've never seen players verbally go after and go to the media and say, it's Le'Veon over us. And so I'm sure today in Pittsburgh, I have not seen anything come out yet. Eric, have you seen anything come out yet out of the locker room in Pittsburgh today on stuff?
I have not.
I'm imagining that when the doors opened, that everybody runs in there with their cameras and their microphones and is saying, what do you think about Le'Veon? And there's probably not one question about Cleveland. Not one. And so these players have decided to take it into their own hands, which is so odd to me, so off to me. And in Le'Veon's case, essentially he's saying, I am saving my body. I am not going to be here next year. The NFL is a grind. I'm going to get mine. You guys put up with it and you deal with it. So James Conner, who is nobody, no personal criticism here, just wasn't anybody in most anybody's minds. And now he's the guy that's going to start for the Steelers in all likelihood. If Le'Veon Bell decides to walk on in, what's that going to be like in Pittsburgh? Just really odd how that went down. That and the Kaepernick story. And I'll talk to Goody about the Kaepernick angle a little bit later on in the show. Up next, we're going to switch gears over to the Suns because three former Suns players, although I'll argue a little bit about if they should go in as Suns or not, three of them are going into the Basketball Hall of Fame this weekend. I'm Brad Sussmat. So the NBA Hall of Fame is this weekend, too. This is a story that's going to get lost in the shuffle, given the magnitude of the ASU-Michigan State game and also the Cardinals' season opener. This year's NBA Hall of Fame class has a very strong Phoenix Suns tie, but are all these guys members of the Phoenix Suns when you think of them first and foremost? Now, by that, I mean a guy like Jason Kidd, who came into Phoenix, who was loved with his wife, Jemana. And then Jemana and Jason had a domestic situation, which ended up, I think, turning a lot of people on Jason. It ended up costing Jason and I a relationship. He just could not understand for the life of me why I took such a strong stance. And we were doing a lot of community stuff back then, and he just wouldn't let it go. And I merely point out, you don't have French fries and domestic violence and just turn your eye the other way. You just don't do that. That's not something you should ever get into. Well, it was her story, not mine, so on and so forth. Anyways. Jason Kidd, to me, is a Dallas Maverick or a New Jersey Net. He is not a Phoenix Sun. When it's all said and done, as much as I enjoyed watching Jason Kidd play here, the way that it ended, and ended badly, I'll flip that around on Grant Hill. In my opinion, when I see Grant Hill, I don't see a Detroit Piston, and I don't see an Orlando Magic player. I see a Phoenix Sun. Maybe it's because of all the injuries that Grant had and even life-threatening, career-threatening injuries that he had. When it comes to Steve Nash, I don't see a Dallas Maverick. Yes, he did talk this week, Steve did, about how Don Nelson and Donnie Nelson with the Mavericks really changed his career. It was an interesting antidote that Steve had. Don Nelson threatened to fine him and actually did fine him if he didn't shoot the ball a certain number of times in games when Steve Nash played with the Mavericks. Remember, Steve started here, then he went to Dallas. Then he came back, and when he came back, he was a different sort of player. It turns out Mike D'Antoni was quoted in the same story saying he challenged Steve to go shoot and said that Steve should have averaged 30 points per game. Now, if we were to think back on those Suns teams and the players that were around him, if I'm Steve Nash on the perimeter and I've got Amari Stoudemire on the inside and Grant Hill on the inside, why should I go down and shoot the ball more? But according to these coaches, that Steve was too unselfish. He had some pretty interesting quotes, Steve did, about how he should have been a little bit more selfish and used his colorful expletives, which is fine. Steve never averaged more. He could have averaged much more, I should say. But the numbers with Steve, a 50% field goal shooter, a 40% three-point field goal shooter, and a 90% free throw shooter. How many guys have done that? It's truly terrific and remarkable when you look at the numbers that Steve put up. I think Steve and I had a bit of a fracture at the end of his career because I have to be the guy that sits behind a microphone and says, for the Suns' betterment, Robert needs to trade him because he can't move. It'd be like me pointing out that Larry Fitzgerald at the end can't move. Probably not going to go well. But I can't sit here behind a microphone and hide the obvious. As much as I liked and loved Luis Gonzalez as a person, towards the end, it was obvious it wasn't happening for him. And this wasn't burying the guy and saying, he can't play this, can't play that. I think that there's a way to go about it. I'd heard at the time that the Suns were having meetings about what to do, that things started to turn in a bad direction. And Robert essentially said in these meetings, we are not trading Steve. I do not want to lose the lower bowl when it comes to season ticket holders. Okay, here we are in 2018, and what has happened since 2010, 2009, when they should have traded Steve? You know, you didn't get what you could have got, and the loyalty for the player, as much as I'm on player's side, I'm almost always on the player's side. The concussion stuff, I'm on the player's side. Get the contracts while you can on the player's side. The guy like David Johnson, these are his prime earning years. He should have a new deal done now, not having to sit and wait. In Steve's case, his body started to fail him. And unfortunately, in pro sports, when you're being compensated so highly and you take the approach of we have to take care of him for goodwill, then you're going to have a consequence on the court in putting a player out there that's not nearly as productive as he once was. Steve was a liability defensively at the end of his career. Doesn't mean he didn't have a great career. Doesn't mean I didn't enjoy him any less. It was hard for me to watch. But from a business standpoint, sometimes you have to make the move. When the Suns didn't give Amari Stoudemire huge dollars, they shouldn't have. As many fans as wanted him to have the big contract, his knees were shot. You tie up a bunch of money? You can't do that. So as Steve goes in this weekend, to me, he is a Sun. Eric, when you look at Grant, or you look at Jason or Steve in my conversation here, are we in lockstep across the board on these three players?
Of course. I don't think there's any doubt, because I think the same way you do.
That's not fun. In Grant's case?
In Grant's case.
Okay. Because that's the one. That's the one where I've talked to people like Espo would probably, our good friend Greg Esposito would probably have, who dies with the Suns more than anybody else.
He does.
Would probably have a different view, I would think, on Grant.
He had a really underrated NBA career. And that's weird to say, considering he's going into the Hall of Fame. But he was just really good. Not like borderline great, but just always very good. And it's crazy to think if he would have been healthy, how much better he would have been.
So when the Suns played the Spurs and Nash gets thrown in the boards and all that stuff, when that series started.
Those were fun days, weren't they?
They were fun days. They were fun days.
7 seconds to last. Oh,
it was so much
10
fun.
10 years ago, man.
But I'll never forget Grant Hill. The New York Times was there, and Grant was very media savvy.
Sure.
He knew who he
was.
As
eloquent of a speaker as any athlete we've ever covered.
Sure, sure. I'd say he and Fitz are right there in terms of eloquence and savvy and knowing who's in the room and where this microphone is from.
Yep.
Right? So I'm there. I think Dan was there, Bickley. And I forget who the writer was from the New York Times. And Grant starts to go down this path because there were some issues on that team between Steve and Amari. There was some issues that were going on before everything went down. And Grant just kind of looked around and was talking about the relationship and how fragile it is and all this. I'll never forget this. He said, yeah, I'm not going to go in the playpen with those two and talk about that. It's like, jeez, okay. Let's bring the hammer down when the playoffs are going on.
I was about to say, here are the lines, read between
them. Yeah, read between the lines. Like, when teams try to portray that everything is going great. You remember Rod Allen, the Diamondbacks announcer?
Sure.
Did you see what happened to him yesterday?
I did not.
He and his play-by-play guy got into a physical altercation after their broadcast of the White Sox-Tigers game Tuesday night. Got into a
season.
Physical altercation.
And the Tigers are a bad baseball team.
Bad team, and you know, broadcasters don't care for one another at times. It's a long season. You're away from everybody. But players in particular, when they try to keep all this stuff quiet, and I'm not saying you need to throw all the dirt out there for people to see. It's kind of like what's going on in Pittsburgh today where they're just airing it. They don't care. They're just throwing Le'Veon under the bus. But it wasn't all peaches and cream. But Grant was kind of, in my view, kind of the peacemaker of those two to get them to all play together. I would say that there was more to that than what's being said. The fact that Grant is going in as a Hall of Famer, given the injuries that he had early in his career, says even more so, in my view, about what happened off the court. It's terrific that all three are going in this weekend. And if you're a Suns fan, you should feel very good about it. You know, the last time that I looked at the Suns and said, this guy from the Phoenix Suns is the next one to go into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Look around. I mean, there's really nobody. Am I missing somebody? You know, Kevin's not going to go in. KJ's not going to go in. Charles has already had his run. Steve is in. Jerry is in. Is there a coach that's come along here recently with the Suns that's going to go into the Hall of Fame? The answer is no. Al McCoy is already in. Because we've had this long, long drag out, there is nobody in the pipeline that you can look at and say, okay, is DeAndre Ayton a Hall of Fame player? When people are already trying to equate him to Shaq, those are people in marketing. Those are people in the business side that are just hoping to be on hope on the Suns end that we finally have somebody here. On the other side, we'll have Goody at the Movies, AZ Central, and Gannett Chief Film Critic Bill Goodykoontz. We're going to talk about the Kaepernick commercial, movies that Bill has seen this week, and also he's written so much on John McCain, and Grant Woods are going to work all that in. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
The best of the lot. the one that was in Arizona, even better than the ones in Washington. I mean, of course, just by their mere presence, Obama and Bush were more important. But Grant Wood's just as a piece of storytelling, I thought his was just fantastic.
Yeah, it's truly been a remarkable week. And then yesterday, Colin Kaepernick comes back into the news with the opening of the NFL season as being tonight. Then everybody's looking, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people are looking forward to. Nike decides to drop the Kaepernick ad, and it's caused a huge rage out there. Where are you at on this one?
I have more things to be mad about. I'm wearing a pair of Nikes now, and that doesn't set them on fire. You know, one of my favorite things that I saw story where people, and I don't mean to make a blanket generalization about anybody, but I saw a story where they were having to tell some people, don't burn these shoes while you're wearing them. they're getting calls in the emergency room where people have burned feet. So that kind of tells you where the thinking of the protest movement is of that. I've written about this before. We've talked about this before. That nobody's trying to disrespect the flag. Nobody's trying to disrespect troops when they take a knee. They're trying to disrespect something that you know, middle class and above white people can't even understand. And yes, they're millionaires, and they have, you know, they make more in a year than most of us will in our lifetimes. But they still, you know, you see stories all the time that the people are at best disrespected, and if not, sometimes put in danger because of the color of their skin, no matter who they are, no matter how much they make. And that's something that they have every right to protest. And then I've written about it, and people said, well, they shouldn't do their football game. And say, well, where should a football player do it? I mean, at the mall. I mean, the point of a protest is to attract attention. And in terms of Nike, I think it's, you know, it's a pretty savvy move on their part, I think.
Do you think that tonight, when this airs during the Eagles-Falcons game, because they have bought the time tonight, that this will really ramp this up to a point where I saw a few posts today of checkmate Nike NFL players on the NFL. You agree with that?
I mean, but what do they think? They're like, people are going to just, like, they'll close the NFL before the third quarter.
Ratings may be down, but Aaron Rodgers just got $135 million. Le'Veon Bell's going to hold out for X. Todd Gurley's the amount of money that they're throwing at players, even guys that are offensive linemen, no offense to offensive linemen, but they're making million, two, three. And with gambling being legal, all this stuff just points towards the NFL can dip in ratings. Doesn't matter. The revenue is still crazy. From what I see.
Revenue is as you know, the TV revenue is where they make their big money. That's what the gigantic TV contracts they sign. So, I mean, they're not going to go broke. And if you decide that, certainly your choice. And again, just like taking a knee, not watching a game, your choice. Your freedom of expression. You may express it however you want. I personally don't feel like you've got to agree or disagree. You know, me watching the game, me personally, it doesn't really matter.
So to that point, I am not one of those that looks at announcers. Some fans do. Like this weekend, Tom Brenneman is doing the Cardinals opener with Chris Spielman. They'll be fine. They're going to be fine. Bruce Arians has come onto the scene this year, and I know CBS hit a home run, in my opinion, with Tony Romo. Nationally, critics and fans, I think, loved Tony Romo telling what was going to happen before it happened and not being afraid to go after guys. Do you think Bruce Arians is going to be very good? I, myself, and hesitant to say yes. I think that Bruce is not going to bring out the sledgehammer. He'll bring out the fly swatter and kind of be a good old boy like a Mike Ditka.
Yeah, I hope not. Because, as you know, I mean, he's a funny guy. And
yes.
And in certain situations, he certainly doesn't hold back. And I hope and the guy has football. I mean, there's no two ways about it. On the surface of it, he ought to be great, but you're right. I mean, sometimes when you get former coaches, particularly people who have been in the league for a long time, they're hesitant to really criticize people. And I'm not saying the point of it is not to go out there and just, like, you know, burn all your bridges and stuff, but the point is to go out there, be honest, and tell fans what's really happening. And, you know, and if the guy's not doing his job, tell me that, and also tell me why. Don't make excuses and say, oh, yeah, but he's been a good guy in the league for years, you know, stuff like that. And we're all good guys.
Are you you're going into a screening. Can you tell me what you're going in to see?
I'm going to see it's Robert Redford's last movie, but it's the Old Man and the Gun.
Yeah, do you think it's going to be any good, or are you kidding? It's a pretty good one.
I actually don't know that much about it other than it is supposed to be his last movie, and I'm supposed to talk to him for it. And I think that's interesting when you've been that famous and for doing one thing for so long. I wonder what it's like to know your end date. You know?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's good. That's a good point. Because there are people. Well, I was reading Robert Redford is wrapping it up.
That's it.
You know, he's just walking away from it, and that's something else. So. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time. Get in your screening. See you.
I'll do it. Thanks.
Good evening, movies. There with us. It's always good to have Bill on board. Sports360AZ.com. Hey, with the weekend coming up, we are going to be out Friday night, high school football. Saturday, we're going to be out at ASU and Michigan State. We'll have content up about U of A. I'll put something up about NAU. They have a showdown this week with Eastern Washington. It's a true showdown. Eastern Washington's ranked 6th. I'll be at the Cardinal game on Sunday. I'm going to be busy. One of those Friday nights, Saturday nights, Sunday nights, being out at stuff, which I love this time of year. And, of course, the staff is out there as well. Thanks for being with us.